All right.
So make sure you guys talk loudly since we are on record. Proverbs 16:24. Got everybody there? We're going to say the reference, and then we'll say the verse, and then the reference. Proverbs 16:24. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one under your seat or in front of you. Amen. Everybody there?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's say this together. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 16:24. And again, we're talking about our conversation, our communication in marriage and how we talk, how we say things. And notice what it says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. How many of y'all like honey? I've never met anyone that did not like honey, especially children. Why? It's sweet. It tastes good. They'll take honey over vinegar any day. Amen? And it says, it's sweet to the soul, which means it's going to be healthy to you as a person when you hear sweet words. And then it says this, and health to the bones. It's going to build you up, make you stronger. You know, we know calcium is supposed to build up bones. You know, vitamin D is supposed to build up bones. But here it says pleasant words are like a honeycomb. They're sweet to the soul, but they're also health to your bones. It makes you stronger, makes you better. Anybody can tell you that positive words are much better than negative, discouraging words. Amen. It's just a fact of the matter. So it is in relationships, so it is in marriage. The more encouraging words you have, the more positive words you have, the better the relationship is going to be. The more negative words you have, more discouraging words you have, the worse the relationship is going to be. It's not going to be as sweet. It's not going to be so pleasing to the soul. It's not going to be helpful to the bones. Matter of fact, it may brittle the bones, make the bones a little weaker. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father, thank you once again for the grace that you've given us. Thank you for having Brother Darrell with us today. And Mildred, his mom, Lord, we pray that you would work in our midst today, giving us more of an understanding of the communication that's so vitally necessary in marriage today. And Lord, may we be that which would be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Brother Joe spoke about the illustration about the hamburgers. And he gave a long, lengthy illustration about cooking hamburgers. And he like, hamburgers, putting them on the charcoals, and he said some people cheat and use gas grills. He said those are wimpy people, and I had to raise my hand and say, I'm a wimpy person, amen. But he said the charcoals is where it's at. You put a lot of food on there, and he said you get it to where it's simmering, and he said one thing you have to do with that fire is making sure it's right. But he said it takes a while, whereas gas, turn it on, you can throw it on there really if you want to. With the charcoal, it takes a while. He said so it is in marriage. It's going to take a while to get where the marriage can really start really functioning good, because that blaze now is not there anymore. But the marriage still has to go on. And so he did a very, very good job in talking about that, and so that was a blessing. We're in our books on page 15, and we're talking about communication, maximizing your marriage. And we found out in chapter 1 that commitment is the first thing that a marriage needs to survive. And number two, we saw in chapter number two, honor is the second thing it needs. By the way, if you're not committed to your marriage and to your spouse, it's not going to be much good. And chapter two, if you're not going to honor your mate, you're not going to be much good. Now, can you survive? Yes, you can. But I don't know of anybody that wants to be with someone that dishonors them on a continual basis. It's just a fact of the matter. So the commitment and the honors was necessary. In chapter number three here, we're seeing communication. Now, we read the first two paragraphs up top and filled out the blank there, James 1:19, where it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let a man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We talked about that, why that is a good thing to do, making sure that you're swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Can all of us get upset in marriage? Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes can the least little thing make you upset in marriage? Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, let me ask you this question. Why is it that the least little thing sometimes can make you upset when it really should take a big thing to make you upset? Why is it a little thing that makes you upset sometimes? Especially in a marriage. Yes, Keith?
It's because the little things eventually kind of build up towards like a big thing.
Amen. Amen. Exactly right. The little things have built up over a period of time, and I didn't communicate that. and then I explode. Or some little things at my job that I didn't deal with, some little things with a neighbor I didn't deal with, some little things with my relatives I didn't deal with, and some little things in my home that I didn't deal with, and then my spouse comes up to me and asks me another little thing, and that's the straw that broke the camel's back. And what do I do at that time? Explode.
Can't you see that I'm doing this, and can't you see that, and can't you see that?
And we're like, I didn't know any of that. Why? Because you never communicated it to me. Mm-hmm. So communication is vital. So he says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And talks about the communication down there in paragraph number 2, how we communicate in different ways. And what did it say about ladies? Ladies communicate more in feelings and in stories, and they express themselves that way. Men bear facts oftentimes. Okay, now that's not all the time. Sometimes there are exceptions to the rules. But ladies want to do more talking and touching. Men are more factual and action, matter of fact type of people. So now, come down to that that third paragraph. He says, we communicate with words, which have tremendous power. Our words can hurt or heal, put down or uplift. It says the Bible has a lot to say about words. One important fact about words is found in Proverbs 16:24. We find pleasant words are in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bone. Now, notice at the bottom of page 15. Not only do pleasant words bring healing to the bones, they bring healing and health to any marriage. We need to be careful about what kind of words we use, because we use many every day. Now, the next page is very, very revealing here. Go over to page number 16. And page number 16, notice what it says here. The average man speaks about 10,000 words a day. Hmm. Now, I know, you think, wow, that's a lot of words, but it's really not. It's really not. I mean, you think about it, I just used 10 just now. So, the average man speaks about 10,000 words a day. Guess how many words the average woman speaks in a day? Of course, yeah. You probably read ahead already. 15,000 and 20,000 words. So men, that seems that's about twice as much words that we use. Okay, now we already know why, because ladies express themselves in feelings and pictures and things like that. Notice what it goes on to say. The husband comes home from work with 9,995 of his words used up already. So he merely grunts his way through the evening. How many of us can attest that that is probably true most times? Yes, it most times is true. But then it goes on to say this. He may sit down and watch Monday night football and become irritated because his wife is trying to use her remaining 5,000 to 10,000 words. Now, question. Why did she not get all of her words in when he seemed to have gotten all his words in?
Because he was talking. She was listening.
No, he used his at his job.
Oh.
So now, why does he get home and she's got so many words left over?
She has no one to talk to.
She got nobody to talk to. But the kids are there.
You know how easy it is to talk to the kids. It's like, you need an adult conversation once in a while.
Exactly. Adult conversation. Is it different talking to kids than it is talking to adults?
Yes.
It is. I mean, kids, most times you're correcting them, you're instructing them, you're saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And that's not intelligent talk, nor is it intimate bonding type talk. It's instructional, like a drill sergeant. Huh, 2, 3, 4, do this, do this, do this. So by the time he comes home, she's baby talk all day. She's been rearing, she's been out shopping or doing this or doing that. And she's not really had any really intimate communicational type of talk. So he comes home and he wants to watch TV because he's used up all his words. And so what does he often get when she wants to talk?
Irritated.
Why does he get irritated?
Because he doesn't
want to
talk.
Why doesn't he
want to
talk?
He used up all his words.
He used up all his words. He really ain't got enough to talk about. He comes home and he sits down and, there's the TV or the newspaper and I use up all my words, so I really don't have anything to say. And so it matters not what she says, because I really don't have anything to say. And I don't know what to say. And I don't know what you want me to say. So I don't say anything except he really ain't got nothing to say. Now, I remember early on when we got married, before I knew anything about all this communication stuff, I got off of work and I come home and I'm going to watch football. And Monday Night Football's on, I got the TV on, and I didn't really talk to Coach a whole lot. And she was trying to get my attention, she couldn't get it. And then she came right in front of the TV and started doing this, trying to get my attention. I'm like, you're not getting my attention that way. I'm trying to watch this football game, and you're in the way. Can you please step aside? And she said, I'm going to get your attention one way or another. You're going to talk to me, amen? The husband normally has used all of his words up, amen? So she didn't get a chance to use all her words up. And so she wants to be able to talk to someone on an intimate level. Notice that next paragraph it says there. Most men are like Joe Friday on Dragnet. How many of y'all remember Dragnet of old time? Amen. They say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. One might think men are simply following what principle found in Proverbs 10:19. Let's look that up real quick. Proverbs 10:19, there at 16:24. 10:19. Now, why are we looking at this difference between men and ladies' communication? Because we don't understand how we communicate, we're not going to be able to effectively communicate. Who's got Proverbs 10:19? Can read that. You got Tisha? You need Proverbs 10:19?
In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise.
Amen. So maybe men think multitude of words, you know, I'm going to have some sin come out. I don't know. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. So I don't say anything, I don't incriminate myself. I don't get myself in trouble. However, that is not talking about that principle. Amen. That's talking about being a gossip person or, you know, someone that's out to get information. So look at the next paragraph. It says, however, the verse referring to slander, this verse is referring to slander and gossip, not the expression of feelings in a marriage relationship. So you really can't use that. It says, while most men use fewer words, most women like to circle the airport several times before they come in for a landing, having all the facts woven together in a detailed story. Now, I mean, y'all would attest that is true oftentimes. It is true most times because they're more expressive than we are. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? It's just that men don't communicate that way. We like just get to the point. Okay? How much money do we have in the bank? Well, we spent this on this, and we spent that on this, and this, and then this came up. I just asked how much, either we have this much or we don't have this much. And so men begin to get confused because they're like, I just asked how much. It should be a dollar figure that you spit right back out to me. If I say how much money's in the bank, you should say $10. But you say, I went shopping, I did this, we did this, and baby need a new pair of shoes, and this, and tuition, and this, and this. And so as a result, we have this much. And the man is thinking, okay, I didn't ask for all that. But she gave him that. So understanding how we communicate is very, very vital in the marriage relationship. Okay, now, I think that all of us would probably say we have a very good marriage relationship. Now, the key is we want to maximize that communication. We want to make it better. And that's the case. And that's the key here. Notice this here, with a couple of lovey-dovey there. While there are exceptions to every generalization, almost every marriage counselor says that the inability, notice this, or unwillingness of husbands to reveal their feelings to their wives is a common complaint. Why is that a common complaint amongst most ladies? Yes, ma'am.
Because every man is, you know, they're pretty much built the same way. You know, they want, like you said, they want facts. They want straight to the point, no long, detailed story. You know, they just want simple answers. And women, we want that conversation. We want that long conversation of how, when, where, what. You know, we want all those questions answered. And men, they don't tend to give that all up without you having to pull it out of them.
Crowbar it out, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Notice the next sentence. The wife usually says, he won't talk to me. Why won't he talk? Other than the fact that he's used up most of his words. Oftentimes, why won't he talk? Y'all say, well, we don't know. We ain't men. Amen. Why won't they talk oftentimes? Yes.
Yes, Pastor. Especially when the husband very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he just go on for all day. Didn't want to talk. I just like, sometimes I would ask my husband, like we do drive for Nebraska, that's 2-3 days driving, and he would not say any words all day long and I go for my nap the whole afternoon. I woke up and say, honey, see something, talk to me. And somehow it bothers him that I keep asking him, and he ended up driving all the way to Wyoming. Instead, he got lost, and you have no idea that, you know, because instead of paying attention to driving,
that's scary. I
say, talk to me, see something. And
he gets
so mad, and so I learned about that, and the best thing that I do, just, you know, smile to him, and just make him talk to me. When I start smiling at him, there's something wrong. You know, what is your funny and what makes you happy about it? And that's make me happy because I made him see something.
Amen. Now, so that's the age-old question. Why won't the man talk? Amen. Bobby, Derek, gonna help me out here. Why won't we talk sometimes?
Sometimes we tired.
Sometimes we tired. Amen. That could be. Well, why don't we talk? Yeah, Carmen.
In some cases, I think of like when you begin to talk, when the woman is expressing themselves, and sometimes the man may come back to collaborate with the conversation, and we can easily cut y'all off like, that's not true. So I think a lot of times a man is like, you know what, I'm just better off just keeping my mouth shut, you know?
That's true.
Because sometimes we come back and we're defensive, you know, mm-hmm. in the conversation. So y'all just like, you know what, you can just go on.
Now, men are normally fixers. Normally. So, if you begin to give the circling of the airport when I ask you how much money we have, what am I going to say? Normally. Just come in for a landing, please. I ask you how much money we had. Give me, and then what is she going to do? She clams up. And if she doesn't clam up, she's going to keep circling. And then what is he going to do? Going to get upset oftentimes. Why you keep circling? I just told you, stop circling, land, tell me how much we got. But you need to know all the details. I didn't ask for the details. If I want details, I would ask you for the details. I didn't ask for details.
But a lot of times when you do that, they still ask you for the details. Where does the money go?
Now, let's investigate the male ego a little bit more. Oftentimes, the man is not going to have a lot to say because of his ego. Number one, if I begin to converse with you, you're going to tell me maybe how to solve my problem. And I don't want you to tell me how to solve my problem because I'm a man. I want to solve my problem. That's what men do. We solve problems. We're fixers. And so I'm not going to share a whole lot with you because as soon as I share with you, you say, well, you ought to do this. And if it were me, I'd do this. And you ought to. And you need to. And we're like, okay, you sound like my mother now. And that's why I moved out the house. And so oftentimes the man in his ego is not going to share a whole lot with her for fear that she may come up with a solution that he may or may not see that's advantageous to him. If it is advantageous to him, he doesn't want her to know. If it's not advantageous to him, he doesn't want to hurt her feeling and tell you, that's a boneheaded idea, because he doesn't really know how to politely say it. Okay? And so oftentimes because of the ego, he is not going to share a whole lot because of his ego. He's a fixer. He's at work. He's known to be giving some suggestions and making this work and making that work. So when he comes home, he wants his marriage to work. He wants his communication to work. And so when he comes home, I'm not going to share a whole lot with you because I want to fix things. And so the ego may be one issue. Another issue is this, and this is an issue that I had early on in our marriage. My dad always trained me, you leave your work at work. Now, if I've been at work 8 hours, and I can't bring 8 hours home, what do I have to talk about? Not a whole lot. Because I don't want to bring my work home. Now, why don't I want to bring my work home? Seven.
Because you don't want to burden us with your issues that you're having at work.
Exactly. I don't want to burden you with issues that I'm already burdened with, because now both of us are burdened. Somebody's got to be able to lift somebody up. And if I tell you all the bad and all the wrong that happened, now I'm down and you're down. Or worse, you may tell me, well, you just need to go back and tell that boss you quit. You know, I can't do that. You just need to give it to your mind. Yes,
but if you can share what happens in a positive light, you know.
And you can share what happened in a positive light. But you have to be positive before you can share that. Yes, Daryl.
You know, Pastor, there are so many, and this man issue, there are so many variables that go on and has gone on in our lives. And I'm finding out, even with me, I can think of a great intimate conversation while I'm driving home. Mm-hmm. But then when I get home, it's like, it doesn't need me, but for some reason, it just won't come out of me. Mm-hmm. And I equate that to something that may have happened in my past. Mm-hmm. And we visibly don't understand and realize that a lot, that the things that has happened to us, even as children coming mm-hmm. up, really shapes who we are now. Mm-hmm. And that dysfunction in families and what you've gone through and watching your own mom and dad interact, mm-hmm. that really has a lot to do with how I feel and what I'm taking into my marriage.
Amen.
That's why God is so awesome when he says that you should have one wife. If you have numerous relationships prior to getting married, you're bringing all this stuff with you.
Amen, amen, amen.
And so there's no clear answer. It amen. Just depends on you marrying this guy and you marrying everything he's gone through. And now you got to learn it over the years of marriage.
Amen. And that's why Daryl makes a good point. That's why that commitment is so necessary, because I got to be committed beforehand, because like you said, I've got some past problems that I've had that I'm going to bring into this marriage relationship from my childhood on up to the day that you met me. And I'm going to bring all that into my marriage. And if you're not committed to me and my issues that I got, then there's going to be some issues in our marriage. And so the communication is necessary. So in one respect, that there, what Daryl said is true. There is so much that goes into that. And the male, every man is going to be different because his upbringing is different. You know, my parents were not like your parents. There may be similarities, but that my parents were not your parents. And so my makeup is going to be totally different, and everything that has happened from my birth to the point that I met you is going to be squashed into me, and now here I am. And so my dad trained me, you don't bring the job home. And so I didn't bring the job home. And my wife asked what happened, and I started opening up and saying, this happened, this happened, this happened. But it didn't come automatic. She said, how come you don't ever share your job? Now, I worked in top secret materials, so some things I couldn't share. Okay, but other stuff I could. So oftentimes it's that male ego that puts in there that I'll handle it myself type of issue that's there. So I don't really want to share it with you, and I want to burden you down. And there's so many other things, but those are some of the basic reasons why oftentimes men don't want to communicate. They don't want you to fix their problem for them. Now they want to fix your problem. Matter of fact, they want to fix you. You know, they can tell you what's wrong with you all day long. And they can tell you how to fix you all day long. But the problem is with the communication, you didn't ask to be fixed. You just said, let me share my heart. And then we hear the heart and we think, oh, that heart's broken. Let me fix it. And you say, I didn't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen to my heart. And often the man, like, well, I don't want to listen without being able to fix it, because then I feel like a failure because I'm supposed to fix things. And you tell me, it's like bringing a toy here. Daddy, look. Oh, let's see, how can I fix that? We can do this, we can do this, we can do this, you know? Or you bring to a toy, you start fixing. No, I didn't want you to fix it. You're thinking, well, why'd you bring it to me? Just to look at. You bought me a broken toy just to look at, and you don't want me to fix it. And in our mind, it's not logical, because if it's a broken toy and you have a sad face, my gut says you want me to fix it. No, I just want you to look at it. And you're thinking, okay, and that's it. Yeah, that's it. Just want you to look at it. And then you walk away happy. What just happened? You think, what just happened? They honestly didn't really want it fixed. Obviously, they don't care about it, whatever. Just want you to see that it's broke. And oftentimes, that's how it is in communication with husbands and wives. The wife will come with something that is broke, and she may or may not want you to fix it. It may not even need fixing. She just needs a voice, an audience of someone that's going to listen. Can't tell to the kids. What are they going to do? Can't tell it to the in-laws. What are they going to do? Can't tell it to, you know, my brother or sister. What are they going to do? And so I need to tell you. Now, whether I'm circling the airport or not matters not. You just have to wait till I come in for a landing. I haven't seen anybody in the control tower getting, you know, say, would you please land that plane? You know, they just say, okay, do what you need to do. Land the plane, and we're good. So when you're looking at this, we have to understand that. They talk about two levels of intimacy. Our communication, that's what it says here. However, sometimes good communication causes conflict. This is because there are stages of communication. First, comes the honeymoon stage when you are very careful not to talk about anything that might create conflict. How long does that normally last? You can say nothing to cause any conflict. How long does that last normally?
During the courting process.
During the courting process? So that you put that ring on that.
Let me tell you a thing or two, boy. I got you now.
It's going to vary. It's going to vary depending upon a couple. Some people are on their honeymoon for, 1 year, some for 1 month, some for 2 years, some for 2 months, some for 3 years. I mean, it really varies depending upon the couple, how long that honeymoon stage is going to last when you're very careful about what you may or may not say. On certain issues, it may be longer than that. Now, I'll be honest, me and my wife, we had some great communication in our marriage, but there were still some things that we weren't truthfully honest until we got saved. And then when we got saved, God worked in our hearts and said, look, you need to be completely honest with each other. And then we had to come clean. We thought, man, we're starting back over again, like when we first got married. Now we have brand new people now, because I know some things about you now and I understand you better. And you know some things about me, I understand you better. It's like, wow, we're brand new now. Now, so it really depends, that honeymoon, because there's probably going to always be some things that you're just not going to tell your spouse because you feel it's not vital for them to know. So keep that in mind. It's probably going to be all, you think it's not beneficial for the marriage, it's not healthy for the marriage, I am not going to say this because it is not necessary for the marriage. That's between you and God. You have to work that out, whether it is or not. Some things you may think that are necessary to not tell, maybe some things that are very needful to tell. And some things you think are very needful to tell, maybe things you don't need to tell. So each couple really has to get along with God and say, okay, God, to make this marriage work and have maximum communication, what do I need to do? Now, it's best if your spouse knows all your heart. Why? They can better work with you. And they can better understand you. When they have bits and pieces of information, what do we tend to do with bits and pieces of a puzzle? Well, I will hope not the puzzle. We want to keep them. But what we do with a puzzle, sometimes we put a piece where it doesn't fit and we force it. And so I've made my own reality, which is not a reality. It's a made up reality with the pieces of the puzzle that you gave me. And so you don't want to do that either. So that's a very delicate issue there. But that's the first stage, the honeymoon stage. But notice what it goes on to say. As relationships matures, you go to the intimacy stage, where you begin to talk about hurts, feelings, and disappointments. Now, for some, again, that's going to be more or less than others, depending upon how comfortable you feel. What is a very key factor in you sharing your hurts, feelings, and disappointments with your mate? What is one of the key factors in whether or not I will do that or not? Yes, ma'am.
Honesty and truth.
Honesty and truth, that plays a part in it. Yes, ma'am. What's something else that is a key factor? Yes, ma'am.
Your trust in them being able to keep it.
Trusting whether they can keep that, that's a good part as well. There's a key component to this. When it comes to sharing my feelings, my disappointments, my hurts, what is a key factor to whether I will actually even open up to them?
Love.
Love has got something to do with it as well, but that's not the key component. We all know about this one, too.
To know that I won't scare them away.
That's a part of it as well.
I think the communication, as far as... You don't want them to fix it. They can't fix it. So when you want to talk to them, you want them to listen.
You do want them to listen.
Let them listen and not fix it, not try to fix it, not try to analyze you or... Or any of that, you just want them to hear you.
And that's true, you want them to hear you. But now what is a key component to all of this, whether or not I'm going to do this? Yes, sir?
I think for me is that you're not going to use this as a weapon against me. Or you're not going to, when I expose myself, are you going to acknowledge it? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to use that now as an attack mode on me? Or get defensive? So it's just a lot of, once all of this happens, then the next time I'm like, okay, I'm not stepping out there no more. I'll just keep it in.
Amen. And that's true. That's in as well. But there's one key word that all of us are afraid of in a relationship. It begins with an R.
Rejection.
If I open up, as Daryl said, if I share with you, like you said, I just want to talk, are you going to reject me? Because if you reject me, then you're going to shut me down. Because now you have made me feel less than a person. You've made me feel like it's not important how I express myself, how I feel. So I'm not going to just open up and share my feelings, my disappointments, my hurts. If you're going to reject me, are you still going to love me? Are you still going to receive me? Are you still going to respond to me? If you reject me, I'm not going to be as open. The next time, as Daryl said, I'm going to keep it all in. Why? Who wants to be rejected? Especially in a marriage relationship. And when I open my mouth to hear you reject me, who wants that? So rejection is a key factor in this intimacy stage as to if I'm going to open up, are you going to reject me? Or are you going to belittle me? Or are you going to take this as nonsensical? Or are you going to take this as meaningless? Are you going to chalk this up to, well, that's just the way you are? Now, those things may be true. But as the spouse, I've got to feel that I'm not going to be rejected by you who say you love me. Does God ever reject us? No, he rejects our sin. He rejects our sin, but he doesn't reject us. He says, I love you. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. So it's not a question of whether he loves us, but that rejection that we feel. And oftentimes, what do? We have a hard time separating the sin from sinner, whatever it may be. So when it comes to these feelings and these hurts and these disappointments and this intimacy stage, I'm going to open up as much as I feel that you will accept me without any fear of rejection. Your love is not going to change toward me. Your love is going to be the same. You know, my wife and I, when we first met, we were pretty much honest with each other from the beginning. And we opened up on many, many, many things. But it wasn't until we got saved that we opened up on everything. And, you know, we said, hey, we still love each other. We still love you. Yeah, you got some quirks in your past. I got some quirks in my past. And, you know, maybe we, you know, our gear is a little bent a little bit. But, you know, guess what? We still spin on the sprocket. You know, it's still working. So, you know, hey, you know, that's okay. And the only way you can share that kind of stuff is not to reject your spouse. You cannot reject them. Regardless of what they say. They may be right. They may be wrong. But you cannot reject them. Think about it. If your child ever feels that you reject them, they're not going to open up to you. Because they feel like you rejected me. So if you rejected me here, you're probably going to reject me there. So they're not going to open up. Okay, thanks, brother. And so be careful with that rejection. Notice what he says. Conflict has been correctly called in that last paragraph on bottom page 16. Conflict has been correctly called the door to intimacy. Real intimacy means you are free to share your deepest feelings and know your spouse will still treat you with honor. Notice that. Real intimacy means you are free to share your deepest feelings and know your spouse will still treat you with honor. That was chapter number 2. Commitment, number 1, and then honor, number 3. And now I can communicate because I know you'll honor me, you won't reject me. Okay? Top of page 17. He says this, if you never talk about the things that cause conflict in your marriage, you will never experience real intimacy. Why? Why? If I don't talk about things that are conflict, why can I not experience real intimacy?
Because you tend to hold back things. You know, if you don't really know somebody, you can't really give them your all. You don't know their heart and they don't know your heart, whether it's good or bad, you can't have that connection.
Exactly. I cannot be as intimate if you won't share your deepest feelings, even if they do cause conflict. If they cause conflict, that's good because I'm not going to be rejected. And now I can honor you in a different way, better, because now I know what's wrong. Now, if I don't know what's wrong, you continue to have a certain behavior, I'm going to think, well, you don't love me, you don't like me, you know, what's going on? But if I know what makes you tick, then I'm going to help. As Daryl pointed out, I know this happened years ago, and it's got absolutely nothing to do with me. But if I don't know what happened years ago, I'm going to think it's got everything to do with me, because you're treating me this way. Remember the sermon I preached a couple weeks ago? Bringing these past problems against present people? that's unfair to the person. And so even though it may cause conflict, I still need to talk about it. But the person's got to make sure I'm not going to be rejected. Go on here, we're going to close with this here. It says, some of the most intimate times Virginia and I have ever had came immediately after very serious conflict. Conflict opens the door to a deeper relationship because you are dealing with the very things that are barriers to maximum merit. Notice this last paragraph, and this made me chuckle. It says, once Virginia and I drove to a store about 20 miles from our home. Most of the way we were in a very serious conflict. When we got out of the car to walk into the store, I thought I should hold Virginia's hand just in case any of the church members saw us. When I reached to take Virginia's hand, she yanked it away. I looked around to see if any church members might be watching. So if so, I plan to say, we'll be okay by Sunday. I may have ever been in that boat before, amen. You know, you want to grab the spouse's hand and no, we just argue. No, you get that thing right first. Then we'll have holes, man. Don't be putting up no facade. We don't hit the grid around here, amen. I ain't playing that game today, amen. He says down here, growing a relationship involves conflict if you're sharing your deepest hurts, feelings, opinions, and disappointments. Always look at conflict, notice this, as an opportunity for your marriage to grow instead of causing your marriage to fail. On any journey, you are going to have some bumps in the road. There is no smooth road, amen? But there are only minor obstacles compared to the destination of maximum merit. Now, we're going to quit with that one. But at the bottom of page 17, there's a verse there. We're going to use that as our memory verse, Proverbs 12:18. Proverbs 12:18, that's going to be our memory verse for next week. Now, by the way, I'm not here next week. Pastor White is going to be preaching for me as I'm preaching revival over at Desert Springs Baptist Church. So you guys will filter into the ladies or the men's class for next week. And then the following week, we'll be back together. So Proverbs 12:18. But the key factor that you want to keep in mind with this chapter so far on communication is that we do communicate differently as men and women. We do communicate differently. Men have fewer words, ladies have more words than men. One is wrong and one is right. It means that's just the way God made us, and that's the way we communicate. Now, the key is that my spouse can communicate without fear of rejection. That is the key. Making sure that whatever I say to my mate, they're not going to feel that I'm rejecting them, because if they feel that way, they're not going to share. And as a spouse, you should feel comfortable enough to say, you know what, I feel like you're rejecting me. Now, don't say this, you're rejecting me, because you don't know their heart. But you can say, you know, I feel like you're rejecting what I'm saying. And that's easy to say. It's all in how you say it. You say, I feel like you're rejecting me. Ladies, y'all don't get me that. I feel like rejecting me. Get to rolling that head around. No, don't do that. Because then he will reject that. Amen. So, Proverbs 12:18. Amen. So keep that in mind. We do communicate differently. Ladies say more, men say less by nature. But we want to make sure that when we're communicating on conflicting issues, that we don't reject the other in what they're saying. Let them say what they have to say without fear of rejection. Even if they are circling the airport 30 times, let them circle. Amen. Father, thank you for the time to discuss communication in marriage. Lord, it is something that's vital in every relationship, but mostly in a marriage relationship. So I pray that you would guide in our marriages. Lord, help us to recognize we do communicate differently. Men are fix-its by nature. Ladies are more intimate and more relational, and want to explain a little bit more. Help us to accept each other as you have made us, knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, to help us to not reject what our mate says when they say it. Thank you so much for the communication that you've given us. Work in us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, refreshments are next door. And so help yourself to it. Daryl, there's next door where the other classes are at. There's some coffee and snacks and things like that over there.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right, you got your own.
Sort of. I'm still in school getting my certification. They have like three little full-time now.
Yes, ma'am. How far should we?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay, we got some folks that are acting on the cards.
And we got it. A couple
from the elementary
school. Yeah, thank you.
Copper, something.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. But I heard some.
I'm willing to grow it.